It's great to speak out God's word, isn't it? And that solemn assent of emphatic confirmation at the end there. Amen. That's what an amen is. Let's speak it out. Speak it loud. So with the doxology then is a hymn of praise and of prayer and praise, and it's good news. If this is true, what I'm sharing with you and what we've been singing this morning, if it is true, there is hope, friends, for everyone, for sinners, for the sick, for those who are broken, afflicted, oppressed. There's hope for you and me today, because we are in the presence of the living God who made heaven and earth. We see then who our Saviour is. And this is seen in his attributes. Well, these glorious attributes, I'm not time to even mention them all. And it's a great study. If you want to find a study this year, study the attributes of God. But Jude says, now unto him. That is the only wise God, our Saviour. He's the only. There's no other God. There's only one God. There's no other religion will get you to heaven. There is only one God. Hallelujah. There is only one way. And in Romans 16, verse 27, it says, to God, who alone is wise, be glory forever through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Timothy 1, 17, glory and honor to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. I love the authorized verse. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise his great name. It's so important, friends, that we worship this God who is the only one. 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 17 says, for at the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He alone can never die. He lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No one has ever seen him, nor ever will. To him be honor and power forever. Amen. It's so important, friends. What we've been doing this morning is giving him the honor. We'll come to adoration in a moment because that's one of my points. But here in verse 17, it says, tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud. And in Revelation 15, listen to this. Put your safety belts on for this. 3 and 4. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. We've been practicing today this. We really have. Because listen, great and marvelous are your actions, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. This is God's word. This is the eternal truth that we are listening to, or we're speaking this morning, sharing together. We see who our Savior is. We've seen he's the solitary God, the only God. Jude 4, it says in Jude 4, I say this. This was earlier on in this letter that we're reading from, where we've read the doxology. I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you, saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. The fate of such people was determined long ago, for they have turned against our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So there's only one God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no other God. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. I'll read to verse 7. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and people. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message that God gave the world at the proper time. And I have been chosen, this is the absolute truth, as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles about faith and truth. Isn't that marvellous? This is the gospel. This is good news. There's no news out there that could ever compare with this news I'm sharing with you today. I want to preach it from the mountaintops. I tell you, from the rooftops. I want people everywhere to hear this wonderful message. In fact, once you've got this message within you, once the good news is burning like a fire within you, you can't keep quiet about this good news. You'll have to tell someone, because this is God's work and it's God's word. You see, he's omnipotent. That means God is all mighty. You can't have two almighty gods. There's only one. The devil is not almighty. He's not omnipotent. So why are you worried about him when Jesus is for you? The omnipotent one is for you and he's not against you. And not only is he one, the only in the numerical sense, but also in the warm scriptural sense that he is unique, isn't he? There's no one like our God. He's incomparable. He's glorious. He's lovable. 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 He really is. Once you know him, you'll want to love him. Once you realize what he's done for you, you'll give your life to him. Oh, I was reading one story about a destitute person, a poor person in this town 160 years ago, been a real baddie, a wicked man all his life. And at the age of 80, he came to faith in Jesus. Isn't that great? Well, it's never too late to find Jesus as your own personal savior. And he so knelt in prayer that he felt he was hugging the cross and the blood of Christ was dripping all over him. Hallelujah. Because it's only the blood of Jesus that can cleanse you from all your sin, past, present, and future. So he's the only one true God. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, a young church who really grew very quickly in their faith, he says to them, "For they themselves keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the true and living God. Whatever's first in your life is an idol. Therefore, turn away from your idol today and turn to the true and living God." If God is not number one in your life, then he's not your Lord and Savior. And he wants to be Lord and Savior today. We see what or who our Savior is in these attributes. What our Savior is, his attributes. He's sensible, I put, but it's not as good as the word wise. He is wise. One of the Old Testament names for God was El Roy, the God who sees. And you know, he sees everything, everything. He's omniscient. That means he sees everything, knows everything. That is to know past, present, and future. This is our God who sees and knows all. He discerns and he judges correctly every time. He's experienced and skilled in working things out in your life. There's a great verse in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28, isn't there? "For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." So it's not an accident what's happened in your life. It's not a disaster. God is working even the dark nights together for good in your life and in our lives together. And he's omniscient. He knows all things. So when somebody passes away into eternity, we don't judge. We don't say, "Well, they've gone to heaven or they've gone to hell," because you don't know, let me tell you. I was in Cadishead Church. It was like my first week there. And the week before, I think John Lennon had been shot and killed. And the preacher had said, "And we all know where John Lennon is now, don't we? He's gone to hell." Friends, you can't say that. God is omniscient. He knows what you don't know. And he is the judge. And Abraham, didn't Abraham say, "God will do what is right"? He will always do what is right. So don't judge. Let God do the judging. He's a stern judge, but he's a gracious judge. What our Savior is, it's seen in his attributes. Solitary God, a sensible God, but he's a sovereign God. He's the only wise God. Theos, deity. The supreme divinity, the very exceeding God, is the one that we're serving today, friends. You can't get bigger or better than that. So why would we go after the things of this world, the gods of this world? Let's put them behind us and let's put Jesus before us and serve him with all our hearts, our souls and minds. Yes. He's omnipresent. He means he's here today, but he's also with Dave and Jill in New Zealand. Isn't that marvellous? How does he do that? He's everywhere, everywhere, present at the same time. So he's there, but he's here. He's with us all over the world and even beyond, from infinity beyond. He's an infinite God, isn't he? Whoa! We can't comprehend him. Our finite minds can't take in the infinite, but we can know him. And the more we know him, the quicker we take this simple gospel message into our hearts and stop trying to be clever, then we will know the truth. And knowing the truth, we will be set free. It's seen in his attributes. He is our Savior. He's our Savior. He's the deliverer from sin and shame and snares and sorrows and strivings and that snake, the devil. He delivers us from all that. And it's salvation plus. He not only saves us from all that, but he brings us into his grace, which abounds, and he fills us with riches that are beyond compare, that will be with us for all eternity. And we've just given a taste. It's like the starter today. Went out for a meal the other day. Sometimes the starter is better than the main course. Not with God. This is the start when we get the main course in heaven. I tell you, friends, oh, that will be glory. That will be awesome. Delivers us. Even Mary. Some people worship Mary. We should respect her. The most blessed of all women. Virgin Mary. Virgin conception. Wow, thank God for her. God can use virgins. God can use people who've kept themselves clean from the world. And she said, how I rejoice in God, my Savior. Ooh, she needed a Savior. And Jesus was her Savior. And he can be your Savior and your friend. Is he your Savior? That's the question I want to ask you today. What our Savior is able to do. He has the ability to preserve, to keep. This is awesome. God is able to keep. He's able and he's willing. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd doesn't lose his sheep. He loves his sheep and he dies for his sheep. Gives everything for his sheep. The ability to preserve, to keep. Keep from falling. Have you stumbled recently? Oh, don't we? Don't we mess it up sometimes as believers? We fail God miserably. But he is able to keep us from stumbling, from struggling, from slipping. It's like a sure-footed horse. Rachel's on holiday, so I can't ask her to give us an illustration about a sure-footed horse. She had a horse fell on top of her, didn't she? Smash some of her ribs and whatnot. You're better off with a sure-footed horse. It's like a mountaineer. You know mountaineers? We've been to the Lake District, the most beautiful part of the world for me. Like coming from the M6, then leaving the M6, then going across to Keswick. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. So beautiful. In February, I thought, I wouldn't normally go to the lakes in February. It was amazing. God's creation is wonderful, and yet he wants to recreate our hearts and our lives. And if he can create all this, surely he can keep us. Surely he can preserve it. If he can keep us and sustain his creation by the word of his power, surely he can keep you and me from stumbling. So like a mountaineer, you see them in the lakes, tied together with an experienced mountaineer. You wouldn't go, would you, if you didn't have somebody with experience? Well, I tell you, Jesus has been up this mountain. He's an experienced mountaineer. And you are holding on to the rope that he's holding on, that you are holding on to him with. The rope of faith. You are tied to him. You're with him. It's wonderful. There's nothing like it. Following Jesus, being kept by Jesus. Bind yourself to God this day. it says in verse 21, fasten your hearts to the love of God and receive the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. Keep being compassionate to those who still have doubts, and snatch others from the fire to save them. Do you know there are people burning all around us, going to the fires of hell? But friends, we can snatch them. I've been reading about George Whitefield coming to this area, which I didn't realize. George, I knew John Wesley had come, but George Whitefield, no wonder there's foundation here in this town for a move of God, because they prayed for us. Let me tell you, they prayed for revival in Rochdale, and it's coming, if it's not already here, when we are revived in our own hearts. John Wesley, as a child, Susanna Wesley had 19 children. Can you imagine? The house is on fire. The church manse that they were in was on fire. I've seen the rebuilt one, but this was the one before. And everybody was accounted for except John. So she ran into the house, burning, blazing, on fire, and got a hold of John and rescued him. And later on, he would refer to that as being a brand snatched from the burning when he was saved by the grace of God. God wants to move in our hearts and our lives so that we can reach others with the good news of the gospel. Keep being compassionate to those who still have doubts, and snatch others out of the fire to save them. Be merciful over and over to them, but always couple your mercy with the fear of God. Be extremely careful to keep yourself free from the pollutions of the flesh. We've got to share this good news, friends. Whilst I was on holiday, I was in a hotel, and I like going swimming. Went swimming with my grandchildren the week before. But swimming is lovely, but oh, it's the jacuzzi that gets me. Anybody been in a jacuzzi? Oh. You can relax in a jacuzzi, especially when you've got a back like mine. Although, talking to a guy in the sauna to begin with, and we started talking, and you can't keep quiet, can you, about your faith when you're in such a place, because you're sweating, you think you're going to die soon. And this man, we were talking, and he said, well, I'm not too sure. I don't believe the Bible's all together there. I said, well, how do you know that? Oh, well, I've heard about it. I said, well, if you're not read it for yourself, you ought to read Mark's Gospel. Promise me you'll read Mark's Gospel, because it will do you the world of good. And then conversation carried on in the jacuzzi. And as we were going, I said, what's your name? Because I want to pray for you. He said, Mark. I said, well, there's 66 books in the Bible, and I chose Mark for Mark. How good is that? So there you are. This must be God. Receive it. And shook his hand, and he went away. And the next day in the jacuzzi, it's where it's at, friends. If you want to witness to somebody, get into a jacuzzi somewhere. There's nothing else to do except watch the bubbles, is there? So, listen, I spoke to this dentist, lovely man. He used to be a dentist in Rochdale, a dentist called David. What a good name for a dentist. Pull your teeth out. And he was here, but he now moved to Skipton. But he just had an operation, his fifth operation on his back. Fifth time, lucky, he said, because this time it worked. Rods and, you know, all kinds of things put into his back. And we had this conversation. He said, you know, 4 years ago, my wife died, and she was a Catholic, but we're sort of anti-Catholic now. It was a Church of England service, and it was beautiful. But she did say, I wish I could have the faith that some of these Christians have, where they know that they know, and they have the peace of God when they're passing into eternity. I said, David, I'm here to tell you that you can, he's 79, don't know how long he's got left. I said, you too can know the peace of God. It's yours. It's on offer. I'm offering it to you right now. Just receive it. And when you pass into eternity, you will have a peace that is indescribable. You will know. And in that book I'm reading of John Ashworth's, person after person after person who was on their dying, on their deathbed, had such a peace every time. The agnostics didn't have it. The atheists didn't have it, because it refers to some of them. Voltaire didn't have it. So on. If I said that right. Voltaire. Let's get back to this thought. We need to share You see, we see it has the ability to preserve you. We had a lovely meal in Cockermouth. If you've never been to Cockermouth, why not? In the nice little tea room there, I had tater ash. I've not had it for years. It was absolutely lovely. But with it, they served some nice accompaniments and condiments and some beetroot. But the other thing was pickles. Pickles. You know, pickles? The preserved pickles. They put in a jar of vinegar and they're preserved. So guess who pinched my pickles? My pickled onions. And, well, sometimes we think as Christians we're like pickles in vinegar and we're going to be saved for days, months, maybe years even, because we've just been preserved by God. Actually, we need here to read God's word and understand what God is saying. I read to you earlier this great verse. I'm nearly there. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You have got to fasten your hearts to the love of God and receive the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not pickled onions in a vinegar jar, although looking at... No. I won't say that. It's so important that we really fasten your hearts to the love of God. We have a responsibility and receive the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. So don't just be a pickled onion. Be somebody who's constantly praying in the Spirit, seeking the face of God, drawing near to God. What our God is able to do, he has the ability to present us, to present you and to present me. Matthew 10, verse 32 says, Jesus said, if anyone acknowledges me publicly on earth, here on earth, I will openly acknowledge that person before my Father in heaven. Those who were given to him, none of them did he lose, save the son of perdition, save for Judas. Nor will he lose anyone today. He's not going to lose you. This shepherd doesn't lose sheep, friends. Trust him. Keep your faith in him. Don't turn away. But he will present you perfect, holy and happy. People think Christians are miserable. Friends, we have the greatest joy in the universe in Jesus. There is joy in serving Jesus and following him. What our Savior is able to do, he has the ability to preserve, to present and to perfect, faultless before his throne, faultless before the throne. This word is of a sacrificial word, animal, being sacrificed. They were without blemish, without spot, those animals. So important. And through grace, through faith in Christ, through the imputation of his righteousness into our lives, we can be fit. We can be fit sacrifices to God, to be presented before God. The sacrifice of Jesus to the Father. Innocent of sin. God accepts us as a sacrifice through grace. The stern judge is actually the loving Father who cares for you and cares for me and brings not just joy, but great joy into your life. Rounding this up, what our Savior is to receive, adoration. We've been doing that this morning, adoring him, bringing glory. Glory is honor. It's a result of good opinion, dignity. How can I help but love him when he loves me so much? I can't resist to adore him. Is this adoration issuing from your life? I love R.T. Kendall's definition of glory. He said it's the sum total of all God's attributes. Wow. If you can understand that, you've understood glory. But we can have a taste as we offer glory to him today. What is our Savior to receive? Majesty. Seen in his adoration, glory, majesty. It denotes his greatness. We've got a king who's going to be crowned very soon, and there's going to be greatness like the world's never seen. There's going to be greatness shown to billions of people all over the planet. Whether you're a royalist or not, it's irrelevant. That's going to happen. majesty. They will be worshipping his majesty in that sense. But our king is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who is great. God the Father is great. Ascription of praise is given, and it's an acknowledgement of all the attributes that he has. I love that song, Majesty, Worship His Majesty. That was written by the pastor who came to England from America and saw the castles and the palaces. I'm trying to think of his name, an Ealing pastor. And he saw this and he thought, wow, majesty, worship his majesty. What our Savior is to receive, adoration, mastery, dominion. He is the master. Adonai is one of the primary names in the Old Testament of our God. He's the master. He's the master. Why don't we submit to the master this morning? Give him our lives, because he knows what to do with our lives. Don't just drift through life. Have a purpose, the purpose he ordained for you before the world began. Master of the universe, the power speaks of power and strength, perfected power to create and complete victory over Satan. You see, through Christ, we are more than conquerors. Through Christ, we are overcomers. Through Christ, he's already overcome the enemy, and we can put the enemy under our feet when Christ is Lord in our lives. And our Savior is to receive adoration, not only because of his glory and his majesty and his mastery, but also because of his authority, the power. He's omnipotent, I said it earlier on. All power, the right to exercise that power and the power to rule. Every government will be overruled one day. When Jesus returns, there will be perfect peace on earth. You can hardly imagine it now, but he is the Prince of Peace, and he's coming again to rule in peace and in majesty. Obedience to his will is paramount. So this is true worship. Let me close. You've been very good. Thank you. Only two have fallen asleep. So, conclusion. God rules, doesn't he? God rules okay. God reigns. He's omnipotent. It's seen in all his attributes, in his ability, and in his adoration. He rules. Our God reigns now and forever. You cannot serve God when you please. You know, if you feel like it. I'll go to church today if I feel like it. Stop going off your feelings and your emotions and start being, you know, this is the Lord's day. It's time we got the Lord's day back. It's time we gave this day of Sunday back to the Lord. There was a prisoner who, from Bamford, you might know that area, wouldn't you, that you'd have prisoners from there. And he murdered somebody 160 years ago. James Burroughs. Don't know whether anybody knew him. Very sad. He went to Sunday school initially in Cookgate and received instruction. But then he was turned by his friends and followed his friends into a path of evil and darkness. So eventually, for the sake of 7 shillings, which isn't a lot of money, he murdered somebody. Cracked them over the head, broke his skull. That man was dead. So there he was in what is now Strangeways, Salford. He was taken there. And John Ashworth asked, could he go and see him? He was amazed to see this lad who'd repented. He remembered some of the Sunday school songs. He remembered what he'd been taught, and he repented of his crime. And he began to sing some beautiful songs that blot out, Jesus, I come to you, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. He quoted Psalm 51. He came into a deep, over just a few weeks, he came into a deep walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was exciting to read. But then he was going to the gallows. 20,000 people were going to gather in Salford to watch this man, this young man, good-looking man, all his life ahead of him. But he said, I deserve to die. I've committed the crime. But Jesus is my Savior. And on his way to the scaffold, he's singing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That man knew when he was going to die. You and I, we don't know. But let's be ready to meet with Jesus. Let's be ready on that day When he presents us before his throne, faultless, we will worship him as we've never worshipped him before. If you're not ready, well, come and get ready today. The band are going to come up here, and we're going to pray for you. Come and get ready. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. So as the band come, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want to say this prayer with me, and I'm going to quote that hymn, just as I am, you say it in your own heart, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. He realized that Jesus had died on a scaffold for him. The only way he would enter eternal life was through the blood of Jesus being sprinkled on him. The forgiveness that only Jesus can offer.